Warning. The system has become unstable.
This whole system is deeply flawed, and that's why I talk a lot about free markets and property rights, Austrian economics, and getting rid of the Fed. All these things are now up for grabs. A lot of people, especially the young people, are looking at this. So for this reason, I'm a bit encouraged by what might come out of this. But I think we're going to go through the ringer. I think it's going to get much, much worse, and it's bad enough already. But there's no way that we can step back. The one thing I'm convinced of after having spent so much time in Washington is that this will not be a gradual recovery from this disaster that we have. We're not going to elect enough people and enough courage to vote the right way, and there's too much demagoguing and too much misunderstanding that people would revolt. But the collapse will come, it's going to hit the dollar, and then we're going to have our opportunity. So the more people who are protected intellectually as well as financially, the better off we'll be in rebuilding what we'll have, what we'll need to do in the near future.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
The threats to our way of life are legion. If you want to survive, you need a plan. The 7-Step Survival Plan by best-selling preparedness experts David Cobbler and Mark Goodwin will provide a blueprint to make sure you're ready for the dark days ahead. The book covers all the prepper basics, including bug-out bags, barter items, and security. Survival favors the prepared. Buy the 7-Step Survival Plan in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today. Today's guest is Chuck Copes of IDP Consulting Group. Chuck is a precious metals expert, which makes him a valuable resource in these times of economic uncertainty. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Mark, good to be with you.
Absolutely. Now, tell us about your book, America's Financial Reckoning Day.
Well, it's a general theme in my book that America's in decline, and we expect to see Europe rising. And of course, that's in the news a lot today, but we're actually in worse shape than Europe in many ways structurally. And so it's really, I guess the theme would be the loss of the reserve currency status that the U.S. has had, you know, since 1944. And that certainly is under challenge around the world. We're being isolated, de-dollarized, de-Americanized. I think that's Chinese call it. And so that's really what's looming large here, a monetary crisis. I like to say we've gone from a financial crisis to economic, now to a monetary crisis. And questioning what money is, it's based on confidence. As you know, the McKinsey report came out recently saying we've added up to $200 trillion of new government debt from 140. So, you know, we're in a world of debt. And it's going to end badly. You know, these things can't be sustained. It's all really based on confidence. And that's pretty shaky right now, confidence game. So I think that's what people are mostly concerned about. So America's Financial Reckoning Day kind of says it all. You know, we're facing a day of reckoning and we're just postponing it, as you know.
And I heard about you through one of my listeners, Bill M. I'm not going to give his last name on the air because I don't, you know, a lot of people are worried about operational security in this day and age with the government looking over our shoulder all the time. But, you know, he had gotten a hold of your newsletter and I read your May newsletter and it was entitled Financial Reset, SDRs, and the Globalist Financial Endgame. There's a lot of stuff to cover right there in those three things. But let's start with the financial reset. What do you expect from the reset, and what does that look like in America? Give us a picture of what that looks like to the man on the street.
Well, again, we're back to the dollar's place in the world. You know, we have had a 60% reserve in the central banks, up to 90% in just recent years, down to 60. And there's a proposal for, or it's necessary that the world have a reset, a monetary reset. It's being forced on us. It's going to reduce America's lifestyle. Robert Triffin, as you know, was an economist in the 60s. He worked at the Fed. He was a Yale professor. He worked at the IMF. And while at Yale, he did his study, which is now known as Triffin's Dilemma. And that's really what we're facing. I think it just fits perfectly with what you just asked about a reset being forced on us. We have exported our inflation. That's our main export. And in doing so, we've been able to enhance our lifestyle in America. You know, we've exported the inflation, and it's not really been felt here. They recycle our dollars. You know, that's been done through the petrodollars, you're aware of, and so on. And that privilege, exorbitant privilege is what the French called it, of the U.S. dollar, is, you know, can't last forever. Triffin put it this way in his study. He said that the reserve currency of the world must run trade deficits to supply the world with currency. And the dilemma was how to maintain confidence in the currency and then have inflation as well. And that's been the case, as anybody knows. The other dilemma was there was too many dollars at the time. He wrote this in 1961. There was more dollars offshore than gold reserves. And that started to become a stress point. And they created the London Gold Pool in 1961 in order to suppress the gold price at 35. That had been the official price at the Bretton Woods Agreement in 1944. So they tried until 1968. That failed. In 1969, they introduced at the IMF the special drawing rights. And they were actually backed with nominal gold backing to provide confidence in the dollar. Well, as you know, the war was going on in Vietnam and warfare welfare state that we're running. And by August 15th, 1971, Nixon's advisors had him read a speech, as you're well aware of, the decoupling of gold from dollars being redeemed at the New York Fed. So they defaulted. Well, let's call it for what it was. It was a gold delivery default from OPEC, French, and others. And the Europeans weren't very happy about this. And I remember John Connolly was the Secretary of the Treasury. He said, it's our currency and it's your problem. Isn't that kind of our attitude today?
You know, and nothing's changed there, has it?
We've had since then. No, we've had, well, we had in 1971, that's 44 years, we've had a floating currency not based on anything. And, you know, I go into the history of money in my book, different kinds of money. You know, we're at fractional reserve banking right now, fiat currency. So it's really, gosh, it's really just based on confidence. And that's, if people knew, I think it was Henry Ford, wasn't it? He said, if people understood how corrupt the money system was, there would be a revolution by morning. We're not fooling the Chinese or the Europeans or the Russians. And now we have the IMF coming up. That's what I covered in that newsletter. And people can sign up on my websites. It's a free newsletter I put out every 2 weeks or so. And so every 10 years since 19, well, for several years, they've been putting out the SDR since 69. They kind of revived it in 1999. They used it a little bit in 79, 2009. They issued more SDRs. They even gave a loan to the Ukraine in SDRs. And the Greece right now really defaulted in May, and they pulled out their SDR reserves at the IMF. So that's, you know, it's something nations can settle with. But this October, there's going to be a new calibration of the SDR. And this gets really interesting because they do it every 5 years. And in 2010, the Chinese were kind of, not allowed to have more voting rights at the IMF. And they've been wanting this. So what did they do? They went out and joined the Asian Free Trade Area, which dominates that free trade area over there. They formed a BRICS Development Bank on the anniversary of the Bretton Woods Agreement in June of 2014. I thought that was very telling. And now, of course, the Asian Infrastructure Bank. Now, my next newsletter is going to cover the new economic Silk Road, I think they're calling it, gold and the trade with Russia and all that. So they're really ganging up on us. Of course, we know a lot of gold is going from the west to the east, and they are about to introduce or announce their official gold reserves. They haven't announced that since 2009. They say they have 1,000 tons. The guess is right now that they probably have more than 3,000, probably more than 10,000, and some even say as high as 20 or 30. And they mine, they're the biggest miner in the world, so they could have easily mined in their industrial revolution of 30 years, easily 15,000 tons. So, boy, what a game changer that'll be, because after World War II, the U.S. had 22,000 tons, after World War II, and it got dwindled down. That's why Nixon closed the gold window. So what do we have, 8,000 tons in New York? That's very doubtful. Some even say 6,000 or less. But,
and it's all leased out.
Well, it's rehypothecated.
If it's there.
At least. Yeah, if it's there. And so it really is a shell game, isn't it? Because the Austrians right now, they want their gold from London. Germany wants theirs. So people are trying to repatriate the central banks. In fact, they've been net buyers since 2010. Think of that. They're trying to suppress it and talk down gold. The barbaric relic is what Keynes called it. And yet they're net buyers. And that tells you quite a bit. Doug Casey's done a lot of research on that. But what I proposed in my newsletter in some pie charts, you probably saw that, right?
Yes.
The different scenarios, they call it. But right now it's the dollar, the euro, sterling, and yen. And that's about 41% dollar, 37% euro. The rest are about 11%. Now there's, and it's almost certain that China is going to be included. They're the second largest economy in the world. They're the number one importer of oil now. They just took over the U.S. They're pretty big. As Napoleon said, when China wakes up, she'll shake the world. And geopolitically, it's really what's happening. So the Chinese yuan, which is not a convertible currency, but I guess they have about 30 currency hubs around the world, all over Europe, Frankfurt Financial District. They're not exactly going to open one up in New York or Chicago. Nothing to do with the U.S. You know what I'm saying? You can just tell by their attitude. And so they're likely to be included, the yuan, into the special drawing right, which will be a settlement currency for automobiles, crude oil, things like that. Interestingly, one of the privileges we've had, and I have a report on both of my websites, it's a petrodollar warfare report that explains the recycling of our debt through the petrodollar, the accumulation of crude oil in dollars in 1974. And that in a way, that kind of replaced Nixon's dilemma, Triffin's dilemma in 1971, because we were still able to recycle our debt and support the treasury market. And the all the commodities are priced in dollars at the CRB index, all 19 commodities. So that's been a real privilege we've had. And now the SDRs could emerge as a settlement currency. By the way, this will be decided in October, announced before then, I believe, and then it will be official on January 1st, 2016. This doesn't mean that SDR is suddenly going to be used, and it's not something with local currencies. Nations would still have their local currencies, but it is something that could be implemented in a crisis, and I do see that coming. So it's likely also that Canada and Switzerland would be included in this new scenario. And the Swiss, as you know, unpegged their currency from the euro in January, and that was pretty dramatic. They didn't announce that. It was 30% decline in their currency. So
Shot up 30% overnight.
It was
didn't
up
it?
30%, yeah.
And, a lot of currency traders, they had to close their doors the next day, didn't they?
Yeah, it was pretty disruptive, very much. The Austrian bank is in trouble right now because of all those mortgage loans in the Swiss franc or something. So they're having trouble. That's why they're probably repatriating 110 tons of gold over there. In fact, China, I would have to believe that China has to unpeg their currency just like the Swiss did to qualify to be part of the SDR. They have to open up a capital account, that's what Rickards calls it, to freely trade in and out of the SDR. So that's just a big movement underway, and it really does solve Triffin's dilemma. In other words, you wouldn't have just one currency abusing, exporting its currency and doing that. So I guess you could call it a new architecture for the global monetary system, and I developed that in my book quite a bit with the where that's heading. So, you know, Rickard, speaking of him, he wrote The Death of Money, his book. We did a program once together, and he likes to talk about the unstable monetary system as an avalanche, right? And too much snow comes on or too much debt, and then suddenly it collapses. And that's where we are in the world. And then the latest book, The Big Reset, by Middlekoop. And he says this new monetary architecture will either be well-planned or, he says, hastily implemented on the back of a dollar crisis. And I kind of see that's where we're heading right now.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spa. Go to katiearmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
And now tell us what this is going to mean for the dollar, because part of the dollar's demand, it's artificial in nature. You talked about the petrodollar a little bit, and of course, oil's traded in dollars, which kind of creates an artificial demand for the dollar, which kind of props it up and allows us to be abusive, like you said. And while we call it a floating currency, when we look at these floating currencies against gold, they look a lot more like sinking currencies, as a side note. But to not get off on a rabbit trail there, but what does it look like for the dollar in the future when it loses that reserve currency status and we start to switch over to SDRs?
Well, again, that'd be for trade settlement. You'd still have domestic dollars, but there'd be less need for it. In other words, in the new SDR, they're allocating only a 40% percentage for the dollar, and it could even be less if you look at some of those scenarios. In fact, there's even talk of putting gold into the component to restore confidence in the system, and that is not That's very possible, and if that happens, you could suddenly see gold, hit $5,000 to $10,000 an ounce, and I think it would have to do that. Of course, that would take silver up as well, and I really favor silver. I hope we can talk a little bit about that. What it means for the dollar is a lesser role for the dollar, and that would be, as Franz Pick, an economist, said, the destiny of a nation's currency is the destiny of a nation. And look at Japan right now is a good example of postponing a reckoning day. We would have a lesser role in the world. There'd be less dollars needed. There'd be less recycling into our treasury market. That would be the debt market we have, and that could blow up at any time. Right now we're struggling with interest rates, saying that we're going to raise them, but I think we're essentially trapped where we cannot do that. We're in a debt-based monetary system. You've heard people talk about that, where everything is, we issue new bonds against the new notes that we make to fund the government. That's the essence of the Federal Reserve issuing monetary inflation. So right now we just have a financial repression, and we've had a ZERP policy for six and a half years. Because they're trapped, like all the central banks, they're really trapped in debt saturation, and they can't raise their rates to a normal rate. A 10-year benchmark would be 5 or 7%. That'd be $1 trillion in interest today. So they can't do that. And that's hurting savers terribly here in the U.S., and 19 other banks have negative or ZERP rates too. So it's really, I guess economists call it pushing on a string, right? You studied economics, right?
Yes.
You did that, the dismal science. I find it very fascinating because it connects the dots in the world, right? And, so we have a policy today of financial repression. This is hurting pensioners and savers, and it's a real trap that people are in. You can just see our economy is trapped. 70% of our economy is consumer spending. they're really just tapped out. We have negative GDP in the first quarter. You just saw that. And, you know, it's just too much debt in the system. And to try and service it, a reckoning day would be when rates have to go up to normal rates. And that would be unsustainable. Then you'd have a collapsing situation of the dollar. And the future of the dollar is I would get out of dollar-denominated assets. I would do what the Chinese are doing. They're going to probably recapitalize their economy on the back of a genuine price discovery in the price of gold and silver. And so it's to me, it's some have called this the most historic opportunity, the largest transfer of wealth in history. You can't, you know, wealth is never really lost. It's just transferred. And for those who are smart enough to do that, they should be doing that today. That's the other side of my business, IDP consulting. So Gresham's law says that bad money drives out good money. And boy, you can just see this in Europe and everywhere else. You know, right now we have dollar strength. I love that term. It's such an oxymoron. Dollar strength is only because the other currencies are doing so bad, and particularly the Eurozone, which I think is going to default here on June 5th, finally. And that's going to be quite a that could be the trigger to start the restructuring or the need for a monetary reset and all of this. So that's something to really keep your eye on.
And then talk to us a little bit about your valuation for where you think gold could go, how you reach that valuation. And then also, after you cover that, tell us about the gold to silver ratio. And if gold moves up, what happens with silver?
Well, it generally goes together. As you know, the ratio right now is like 70 to 1. In Roman times, it was 10 to 1. And by the way, that's about what they produced today. Last year, I think it was 29,000 tons of gold. What was it? It's about a 10 to 1 mining ratio. So in the market, it should be close to that, in fact. But it's 70 to 1. In more recent years, 15 to 20. So I think we're going back to that. So that ratio is going to really tighten up. What's really going to have a factor here is, and I cover that in my newsletter, last few and certainly the next one now with the new Silk Road, China has opened up the Shanghai Gold Exchange. It's been around since 2002, but they've gone live last year on a platform to actively trade in gold and for physical settlement. They want, in their own words, the People's Bank of China, they want genuine price discovery in the gold and silver market. They're well aware of the manipulation. They're probably even doing part of it in cooperation with New York and London. And I think Gata.org's done some research on that. I think that's probably compensating them for their huge losses with treasury assets. And so the outlook for that is, I think it's a direct challenge from the Shanghai Gold Exchange to the COMEX in New York and LBMA. Of course, we call it the CRIMEX because that's where they rig the markets. They so much naked shorting, it's almost historic going on right now. They have about a 150 to 1 derivative, paper derivatives, for every ounce of silver, eligible silver. So it's more like a casino. They're not standing for delivery, so they really don't have it. And I call it musical chairs because, you know, when the music stops, do you want to be holding a paper contract or do you really want the real thing? And of course, you know, I stress physical delivery for people. So right now that's a tremendous pressure. The outlook for gold, especially the SDR and that allowing it to, you know, reset the price of gold could be pretty dramatic. I mean, $10,000, $5,000 gold would be $300 silver on a 15-to-1 ratio. So you can do the math. They are suppressing the metals. They're doing this just like they did in the London gold pool, because if gold and silver is going up, it's like a flashing light on your dashboard. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the engine, and something's wrong with our debt-based economies and business model of just printing more and more and so on. So it's really they want to suppress that and not panic the people and make things look better. But interestingly, the banks themselves are the main buyers. In fact, I believe, have you heard how much JP Morgan has right now? I think it's anywhere from 100,000 1,000 to 300,000 ounces of silver.
Yeah, just, the last I heard is that they were buyers.
While telling everybody
that it was going down.
Yeah, so, and Jamie Dimon should know because he just wrote a letter to a shareholder saying the next crisis is going to be worse than the one in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what I share with people. And we've kicked the can down the road. David Stockman's done great work on this. What a libertarian he is. His book's The Great Deformation of America, The Corruption of Capitalism in America. It just says it all. It's we've really deformed it and kicking the can. And it's going to be worse now. You know, the Fed is leveraged 80 to 1 right now. And Lehman, when it collapsed, was something like 27 to 1. Now the banks are like 50 to 1 everywhere and worse. So it's just, you know, I always say an optimist is one who doesn't know all the facts. If you knew all this stuff, how bad it really was, you'd be running, not walking, to get some medals. And my business is going crazy because people just see this coming, you know. So anyway, yeah, that's the outlook. I favor silver since we might as well talk about that. I think it's got more upside potential. It's being suppressed more easily in the paper markets because of the Gold Act of 1900. They demonetized gold, and that's kind of the whole metaphor in The Secret of Oz, if you've ever seen that. Bill Still's done a documentary on that. The gold, the yellow brick road was gold, and Dorothy in the original script, you know, wore silver slippers. And she was helping the little people to break the gold cartel in the Gold Act of 1900. So it's an interesting metaphor because that's what's happened today. We don't have silver backing anything. Currency has been demonetized. And so the only way the banks can suppress the price of, manipulate the price of silver is to intervene in the paper markets. And they're doing it so recklessly, so obviously, that we can see what they're doing. And pretty soon it's just going to lead to delivery defaults. See, what the CFTC won't do in their four-year investigation, what the courts won't do, regulators, the market will. You know, they say you can't fool the market all the time. There's going to be so much demand coming in at the margin that, you know, that's probably going to lead to defaults. And it could even happen in Shanghai. The demand for silver is pretty historic over there as well. People don't realize that. By the way, you used to work for J.P. Morgan, did you?
No.
No,
you didn't. Never been in the banking.
Were you kidding on that?
Okay. Never been in the banking industry.
You weren't a bankster? Okay. Because J.P. Morgan has a great quote. He said it during the antitrust trials in 1911. He said, gold and silver is money. Everything else is credit. And there it is. The master himself, like Greenspan, just said at the New Orleans conference, you know, again restating that gold is the only way to protect yourself from the welfare state. So he said. That was in his essay in 1966. He used to be a libertarian. He used to be a follower of Ayn Rand. He was totally corrupted by the Wall Street banksters. So, in fact, he went to work at JP, I believe. So, you know, so look, we just have too much central planning. This whole conceited notion of intervention in the markets. As Bud K. Conrad says at Casey Research, we don't have any markets. We don't have markets. We only have interventions. LIBOR, aluminum, food, interest rates, gold, silver, stock markets, high-frequency trading, front-running, dark pools. This is a dangerous world to lose a lot of money, and a lot of people are going to find out pretty soon. We have bank bail-ins looming large. Right now, my next newsletter is going to cover the Greece run on the banks. They're at a 10-year low. It can't be sustained. They're going to have capital exchange controls. They're going to freeze deposits. They're taxing people for taking their money out. And the bank bail-ins are for those for over 100,000 or more in euros. So they're what? They're moving their euros from Greece to the euros in Germany. They did this in Cyprus, as you're aware of. And the template, it is now in position here in the U.S. for them to do the same thing here. I think I have a comment by the director of Moody's. Robert Young, director at Moody's, said, rather than relying on public funds, taxpayers to bail out one of the banks, we expect the bank holding company, unsecured creditors, will be bailed in and therefore shoulder most of the burden for recapitalizing the banks. That is because of Section 716 of the Dodd-Frank bill that taxpayers cannot bail out these too big to fails. So they're going to trap people with their deposits and bail you in and make you a shareholder and give you some Class A bank stock. How would you like that?
Hey, Preppers and Patriots, that is the end of part one of my conversation with Chuck Kobus, and tune in next week for the second half. Happy prepping.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback or audio edition at Amazon.com today.